and welcome to Men in Charge. I'm Kevin Decker, but if you saw me, you might mistake me for a large, blue, magical, wish-granting fish, because I am one now.
And I'm Tony Flynn. If you saw me, you wouldn't mistake me for someone who seems chagrined, because I am chagrined.
I don't know why you're chagrined, Tony. In fact, I don't even know what that word chagrined means.
Your stupid second wish.
That I would have all the powers of a magical wish-granting fish? Yes.
Your stupid second wish allowed the real wish-granting fish, Manly Druthers, to switch places with you. Now he's swanning around in your body, and I'm stuck here in the studio with something that smells like the fish course has gone off.
I just wish that I had a magical wishing fish of the non-lying variety to wish myself back into my old body. I still have 20 years worth of good drinking I could have gotten out of that liver.
Hey, I have an idea. As the new magical wish-granting fish, you can grant me 3 wishes, and I can wish for you to be back in your old body again.
Let's try it.
Okay, let me think about this for a moment. Magical wishing fish, I wish that Kevin was back in the body he was born with. No, wait, scratch that. You're no use to me as a baby. Fish, I wish that Kevin had the same form he had before he wished himself into this wishing fish body.
Ooh, did it work?
Amazingly, yes. You're back to your old self, only...
Only what?
Only you still smell of the sea.
Yeah, and what's worse, I'm still the magical fish. Since you wished that I had the form of Kevin, I look like him, but I'm not him. You might say that I'm a man trapped in the essence of a magical wishing fish, trapped in the body of a man who's trapped in the essence of the magical wishing fish.
I won't say that voluntarily, no.
Actually, could you wish me back into the fish body again? Somehow this copy of my old body seems dirty somehow.
Dirty? Well, your body was magically assembled from random molecules from the air. Magical fish, I wish my last wish reversed.
That's better.
I have another idea. Let's press pause on the recording machine gizmo and wait a week to see what happens.
What could happen?
We won't know until we wait a week, until I press this button, but we won't even notice the time fly by, thanks to the editing of real life. Now it's a week later. Kevin, or is it Magical Wishing Fish, or Manly Druthers?
Oh, fellow men, comrades in arms without the whole communist connotation, life is bad.
The prodigal self half returned.
Do you have a drink for a poor fish?
Astrid usually keeps the studio liquor safe locked.
Double locked, in my experience.
Ah, more's the pity. Oh, I thought my experience with you, Tony and Kevin, hosts of Men in Charge, the natural 21st century heir to my beloved Men of Tomorrow, provided evidence that the remasculization of United States culture, or at least of urban city, had been successful. Sadly, you have been the only Men of Tomorrow that I met in the past week. I think I saw things from a rosier perspective when I was the fish. Or maybe it was just that I was trapped in a foul-smelling oil lamp for 50 years.
The fumes will get to you.
As I looked for newspaper kiosks.
Newspaper kiosks? Today?
I looked in vain for news to confirm the Men of Tomorrow predictions. Everyone around me was staring down at shiny lights coming from tiny boxes in their hands. What are your men of the 21st century? Snowflakes who complain they're never getting their coal jobs back. You know, in my day, if you got fired from a job, it was your fault. And you thanked the boss on your way out with your box of things. Urban city is a wreck. All you tree huggers fled to the suburbs, and now we have unbelievably stupid name, Lower Heights. Larry Shildkin passed away 20 years ago from complications from an operation for heart disease. Mort's the back room closed 26 years ago.
Is it a small meat rendering shop again?
A grassroots community-staffed organic meat rendering shop, yeah.
You really do sound like you need a drink.
Ah, Manly, how much do you want a drink? I mean, are you willing to come to some sort of accommodation in regard to, well, Kevin's body?
Are you really asking me to sacrifice this newly acquired freedom to once again roam the streets and haunt the playgrounds of Urban City for a drink? What kind of drink?
Magical Wishing Fish 1? No. Make it 2 pint bottles of Schenley's Cream of Kentucky Bourbon.
Coming right up.
Really, Kevin? When Manly Druthers was the fish, there didn't need to be all this pop culture sub-referencing. There, that's all I asked for.
Let me have those bottles, if you'd be so kind. Do you still need a bottle opener, or is this some kind of space-age cap of film made to disappear when you breathe hot air on it? Nope.
Actually, I believe those were twist-offs.
Actually, Tony, I think we've made a big mistake.
We have, Kevin?
Yes, and by we, I mean you, specifically. You used your first wish to put me into a human body.
That looked like you, but was hot and itchy. Yes, you don't need to remind me.
And you used your second wish to undo the first wish. So the Schenley's Cream of Kentucky Bourbon... And listener, are you keeping track of how many times we've used that name for your own blogging purposes? Was your third wish?
Oh, I see. Now I can't ask you to switch bodies with Manly Druthers again.
You can't ask him to switch us back. Oh, that's rich. It's funny because I got what was coming to you on my side of our bargain.
Oh, you'll get what's coming to you.
I got mine, but now you can't get yours.
You know that's not fair, Manly Druthers. You have never asked me for a wish.
Yeah, just as you too never asked me how I became a magical wish-granting fish.
Yes, how did you become a supernatural snapper anyway?
One night, the last night, after I stumbled back to my one-room flop within staggering distance of the WAWKAM studios, I tumbled into bed and dreamed strange, strange dreams. Some were dreams of hidden truths, bringing Larry Shildkin Boston Cream Center donuts every day, skimming off Lucky's expensive Portuguese liqueurs into a flask at work and refilling the bottles with Ajax in solution, using Sully McGaffey as a human shield against those CPAs.
Ah!
That's put quite a different complexion on things.
And some of them were dreams of falsity. I dreamt that I was a man dreaming, and the dream that the man dreamed of was of a magical blue fish.
What was the fish doing?
It was dreaming that it was a man.
The same man from the beginning of the dream?
Well, duh.
And then I woke up. I was a blue magical fish that could swim through the air and lived in a lamp. I had only been dreaming of all the rest.
I'm struggling to keep up with this denouement that's so like a pat of butter in the shape of the movie Inception that's been left out in the summer sun to spoil.
Kevin, the magical wish-granting fish, I asked for my wish to be granted.
I am bound by my troth, whatever that is, to grant you 3 wishes.
Kevin, I've just had a notion.
What is it? I've got to get on to his wishes. I get anxious.
Well, today's episode is called The Fish Betrayals, and I think you're going to unintentionally botch it.
Are you sure that's today's title?
Yeah, I have it here on the sheet with today's segments.
What are those segments? Read them to me.
Well, Kevin, according to this sheet, the episode is entitled The Fish Betrayals, but I think that's obvious. Mm. And our segments are... pint-sized pads, there's danger in small houses, and the public radio arts and business beat with 2 of the finest freelance thugs available, and finally, time dilation aesthetics, which is pretty much what it sounds like.
Tony, I don't think we have much choice about switching me and Manly Druthers.
I'm crossing my fingers then.
Okay, fish. I wish that I had all the powers of a shiny, blue, magical, possibly lying, wish-granting fish. Lay it on me.
Oh, well, that's disappointing. I'll let you know what happened after today's segments, listener.
From the algorithms, from the people that brought you Tiny House Nation, Tiny House Hunting, and Tiny House Big Living... it's Pint-Sized Pads with your host, Trent Lockwood.
Hey, tiny house lovers. Welcome back to Pint-Sized Pads, bringing you the darndest, cutest wee domiciles in the nation. Where is today's Pint-Sized Pad, disembodied announcer's voice?
It's in the quiet suburbs of your Lower Heights, in the listener's own state.
I already knew that, but hey, we traveled to Lower Heights to their awesome community college to meet our contact, the longest-serving adjunct writing instructor at the, dare I call it, school. Now I'm in Lower Heights, listener. Camera expert Jill Featherwagon and I are here on the central flats of old Lower Heights Community College. Our target is the science building. Jill, have you got the campus map?
Ah, here is a campus map display.
Yes, just reading it now.
That's a fine lucite and aluminum campus map display. I bet that was made by Banner Corps, where life is quality.
Here, the science building. Let's go. Let me tell you as we walk, listener, some of us on the crew have really been missing the fine Mediterranean weather we get all year round in our home base, San Jose.
Santa Fe.
Whatever. And we've been here for 10 days. 10 days, right, camera expert Jill?
9 days and 11 nights.
And it's been raining the whole time, listener.
The whole time.
And it's been awesome.
I'll never be dry again.
Okay. Our contact gave us the science building, loading dock S1, door 3, as the address of his pint-sized pad. And up this flight of concrete steps...
Please knock on door 3.
Hello?
Are you Dan Blanche, the soi-disant longest-serving adjunct writing instructor at Lower Heights Community College?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm Mr. Blanche. Are you guys Jehovah's Witnesses? They usually don't bring cameras.
I'm Trent Lockwood, and your tiny house is going to be featured on Pint-Sized Pads today.
Oh, well, I'm not exactly ready for that. As you can see, I'm not exactly dressed.
Yeah, nice sock garters. Didn't know they still made those. Wow. This is where you live?
Ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience, I have to inform you that we're standing in a biological specimen locker. The temperature in here...
It's so cold.
Let me check my Apple Watch, also known as the iWatch. It's almost negative 9 degrees Celsius.
Now, to be fair, this is half biological specimen locker and half meat locker. That side, fetal pigs and lightly skinned voles. Over there, legs of lamb and sides of beef. The biology faculty have to eat, too.
Dan Blanche, and here I'm really trying to sound sympathetic. What are the circumstances that led you to choose to live in a depressing tiny house like this?
Well, first I had my credit hours per semester of teaching cut back, and the union didn't help. They were getting ready to kick me out anyway. Then there was a plan to completely replace all adjunct writing instructors with Siamang monkeys. They're cheaper than chimps, and eventually they'll get it right, the dean told me. And so I lost that job, but fortunately was able to get part-time hours with the advising office. That takes me back to when I had a desk on the back loading dock out behind you. I kept advising one female student. And frankly, who wouldn't have a crush on Chloe, into my classes and lost that job, too?
I'm sure you advised her like that for some good reason, Mr. Blanche.
Wow, that's an unexpected response, camera expert Jill.
And then I found out that one of the physics professors, Molecule Guy, was dating Chloe. And then one of her sisters, or Chloe, took up with Brian Felden, the top-ranked college career advisor as ranked by Forbes magazine. He tried to help me out by letting me house-sit when he took her to a romantic getaway in Branson, Missouri. But then I almost got shot on Christmas, and the nice Christian lady who did it called the police. And for a while, I was zip-tied to a chair, but then the police officer asked me to make them Christmas dinner and...
Dan, Mr. Blanche...
Yes? Don't you want to hear the rest of the story? I'm almost halfway through.
No need, sir. No need. I'm looking at our producer's directions, and they're telling me our pint-sized pad is in this science building and door 3, but not loading dock S1. This actually says loading dock S2.
There is no...
And that's all the time we have for pint-sized pads here, fruitlessly, from Lower Heights Community College in your state.
Wait, do you guys have any matches or salt? What about salt? Citrus fruit?
Trent, I've never seen you move so fast, especially with jeans that are two sizes too tight.
Just keep walking, camera expert Jill. Maybe he'll forget about us if we don't turn around.
And that's all the time we have for Pint-Sized Pads with your host, Trent Lockwood.
I found a page of food stamps from 1972. I think they're still good. I need to get into the library and check on a computer. If you can spare hair oil or molasses, please come back.
Men in Charge. We're not going to play your reindeer games.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Lower Heights Radio Arts and Business Beat. I'm Stephanie Gardenplaster. Coming right up is the recycling report, then the invasive species plant sale at Gardner Gardens in Upper Lower Heights, followed by this week's not-to-be-missed arts event, the 8th graders' musical adaptation of Dante's Inferno. But first, for the business beat, it's who's new in pumping up the economy in Lower Heights. And who's that today? It's Lower Heights' newest entrepreneurial sensations, Aiden and Largo, freelance thugs. Aiden and Largo, tell us about yourselves.
Hi.
Hi.
So, why are you thugs freelance? Isn't that really just a way of saying you're currently unemployed?
Well, yeah.
What Largo is trying to say, Miss Gardenplaster, is that we and our previous employer, Mr. Capablanco, were engaged in a dispute about how we handled a certain recent incident. We believe that we acted appropriately by letting our, well, let's call them targets, live.
By contrast, Mr. Capablanco believed that we acted ineffectually.
Exactly. I think he used that word and a few others that were, I feel, hurtful.
We were made to flee with only the handsome three-piece suits we are now wearing.
We are looking forward to having the grime removed, which we will do as soon as we snag our first client.
Speaking of clients and the economic boon that will come to Lower Heights once you acquire them, what services do you two actually offer?
Well, it's a three-part plan. We use the acronym TIC.
And how does this acronym serve your clients?
Aiden, you promised that I'd only get the softball questions.
What LAGO means to say is that TIC stands for Threaten, Intimidate, and Coerce. It's a plan of three parts, as LAGO explained.
That seems sound on the face of it, but what exactly can your clients expect when you threaten, intimidate, and coerce on their behalf?
We make life very, difficult for people who are obstacles to our clients' interests. Tell her, LAGO.
That's right. We do stuff like flick their ears like this.
Ow! Quit it!
Sorry. I was just demonstrating.
We've also been known to spill people's coffee.
Hey!
And push raisins between the keys of people's keyboards. Show her, Largo.
Wait, no.
Okay. Here, here, and here. Now, Miss Gardenplaster, try to type. You see? That only makes it worse and worse because you're just working the raisins in more deeply and spreading their sticky moisture.
That's disgusting. I'm just glad it's not my keyboard.
You can see now, surely, that actions such as these will be threatening, intimidating, and coercing.
No, actually, they're just annoying.
Really? That is not what we'd hope to hear.
But, Miss Gardenplaster, we have other bags of tricks in our arsenal. Tell her, Largo.
That's right. We do that thing with matches, throwing matches at people.
Are they lit matches?
Sometimes.
Not impressive.
We've also been known to steal lunches from staff refrigerators.
Also, shouting derogatory remarks at people as we drive slowly past them.
also feeding their pets with unwholesome sugary treats.
I have never heard anything so pathetic in my life. Couldn't you at least vandalize cars or kidnap someone's grandfather?
No, I don't think so. That would be disrespectful, wouldn't it, Largo?
It would.
But in our defense, we have been known to break into garages late at night to purposely dull the edges of people's garden tools.
Well, since your threat, intimidate, and coerce program sounds a lot more like irk, annoy, and irritate, have you considered other careers, like working as furniture movers or doorstops?
Well, no. We just do evil stuff, right, Largo?
That's right, Aiden. Evil is pretty much all we know.
If that. Now, if I were you two, I'd take the first freight train out of town. And if I catch you loitering around the station again, well, let's just say that this being an agricultural region, you're going to meet with a threshing machine accident. Now beat it! That's all the time we have now for the Public Radio Arts and Business Beat. Tune in next time when we speak to a scientist who presents new research on the dangers of mayonnaise. You won't want to miss that.
Hello, listener. I'm Elong Muscat, genius inventor and international playboy. And just for you, I have an exclusive new opportunity.
It's Elong Muscat's exclusive new suite of aesthetics treatments based on the technology of time dilation.
Hello again, Elong here. You know, under my leadership, Out to Launch Industries became the first non-government organization to make its way to space 5 years ago. Just 1 year after that, we had our own private space platform built in geostationary orbit right above Kazakhstan. The year after, we took in clients offering an exclusive opportunity for private citizens to be launched into orbit and spend time amid the pleasures and luxuries of Station Muscat in space.
Milton, my fifth husband, and I simply adored honeymooning on this station in my dear Elong's revolutionary asteroid ice ski village.
Now we're delighted to be able to announce that we've perfected the most indulgent, the most comprehensive spa experience, and then some. Visit Station Muscat, and amidst your other opportunities for relaxation, including, now open, 9 holes of indoor anti-gravity golf, experience time dilation aesthetics treatments in space.
Don't try to tell me how time dilation works.
It's Milton Stolness, ladies and gentlemen, one of our most honored frequent guests on Station Muscat.
I have direct NASA connections. My son-in-law's stepbrother worked there for a patch.
Milton, don't try to show off in front of Mr. Muscat. He's far smarter than you.
Oh, please, Mr. Stolness, discourse on the basic principles for us.
The second principle of general relativity, you know, the one that specifies the equivalence of gravity and velocity within inertial frameworks. It says that sufficient acceleration, fairly close to the speed of light, in fact, produces relativistic effects.
Oh, Milton, you're always going on about relativistic effects.
No, Eleanor, he's quite correct. Relativistic effects are distortions of space and time relative to an inertial framework. What happens is that time runs more slowly and space, along the dimension of accelerate motion, shrinks.
Yes, so don't try to tell me how time dilation works.
I'm never going to hear the end of all of this.
Time dilation has several charming and exploitable side effects. To illustrate, here's a quick snippet from the omnipresent station video cameras on the Ilan Elong Space Clipper that can travel for short periods at 89% of the speed of light in orbit. That's right, in space.
Hey, Milty, looks like you're 50 pounds lighter. That spa treatment has really been working.
That's right, Gordon. At 89% of the sea, I'm a lot thinner, but not shorter. I shed unwanted pounds without lifting a finger here on the Elan Elong.
So what do you mean by sea, Milty?
It's the speed of light. Sea is the speed of light, baby.
And what about this excerpt from our last trip at 89% of sea? Just a last-minute frivolous jaunt to Mars to pick up champagne. Just a few cases of Armand de Brignac Brut Gold that have been cooling there for at least 5 months.
Why, hello, Gordon.
Eleanor, are you your sister? You look years younger.
No, but here at 89% of the speed of light, time slows down. That's what they mean by time dilation.
Good Lord, are you intimating something, Eleanor?
No, no. Actually, yes. Would you like to go to bed with me?
We've edited out Gordon's response for lack of time. Instantaneously appear younger at near light speed satisfaction rates and shed unwanted pounds in a super speedy simulacrum of slimness through the spa station Muscat. Now booking hourly appointments for the year 2035.
Milton, you disgust me. Gordon was clearly coming on to you with those comments about your weight. Why didn't you do anything?
Well, dear, I did do something, but I don't think you'll want to hear what it was. Also, when were you going to tell me about your affair with Gordon?
I only asked him to bed.
Yes, and frankly, a lot rides on his response. I simply must see the raw takes, obviously.
Well, in sickness and in health, and for richer or for... Hey, what am I saying? These couples are never going to experience anything close to poverty. Couples like Milton and Eleanor are stuck together, going through thick and thin, for better or for worse. At least until they pay for their return tickets to Earth. Until then, they enjoy brief spells of the appearance of fitness and vivacity at the reasonable cost of $1 million per minute. And who will get them there in an instant? Elon Muscat. In space.
So, Kevin, where's Manly Druthers now?
I don't know where he slash it is, but today's a free studio lunch, so who cares?
Free studio lunch? You mean they have Vienna sausages, the taste of Kankakee, Illinois, that you just can't get out of your throat?
Turns out our engineer Brian had a barbecue pit-sized deep fat frying cistern tucked away in a mostly unused corner of his office.
Weird.
Yeah, he didn't even remember having it in there. So here, have one of these fish sandwiches. Mmm, good, right?
Mmm. Yum. This filet tastes of victory. Well, we also need to thank our cast because the law requires it now. Kevin Decker, Tony Flynn, Mimi Marinucci, Nisha Schramm, and Brian Lindsay.
And we would also like to thank those who supported us from the Quadrant of Fear, Carrie Boyce, Vern Wyndham, Nisha Schramm, and the man in the car ahead of you ordering breakfast in the Taco Bell drive-thru, Brian Lindsay.
You are lying. I never hit you. You are tearing me apart, Lisa!